right. I am seriously, I'm excited. I love Christmas. I was just asking someone, like, are you a Christmas Bobo? And they're like, what's a Bobo? A Bobo is like, that's from Dan Barrero. It's like someone that you're a big fan of something. And my mom doesn't think I'm a Christmas Bobo. She was yesterday saying, because I want them to have like a small tree instead of a big tree. And she's like, you're a bah humbug. But I love Christmas. And our whole theme is coming home. For the next 3 weeks or until we get through Christmas Eve, it's all about coming home. And when you say the word home, you might have all different kinds of memories or pictures, experiences, smells of what like Christmas and home means. Like you might think of laughing around the table. You might, like when you're a kid and you had to like fight who got the upstairs bathroom when you rolled into the house. You remember like maybe like the weird wallpaper that you had in your bedroom, and you like got older and you're like, did I really have like bunnies and rainbows on my wall? And you might have like the smells of banana bread and like your dad complaining about why do we have so many frozen bananas in our freezer. That's my father. All right, you might have all like these like just exciting like running up. We used to wake up and run to our living room, and we called it, there was like these wooden steps, and the rule was you couldn't go on the wooden steps. And so we'd lean over as far as we can to look around and see the gifts under the Christmas tree. Do you guys remember that? It felt alive. It felt safe. It felt electric. Being a kid, and even now as adults, I still have the same feeling. We decorated our tree last night, and looking like, of course, I'm a high feeler, so we're putting up like our little ornaments. And says, baby's first Christmas, 2005. I'm like, my son is like 11, and like, you know, probably has to start shaving soon. I'm looking, and I'm like, you know. It's just, it's great. Coming home is a beautiful thing, but the reality is there's probably people here and several people listening on the podcast that, like, the idea of home isn't so great. Like, home and Christmas might bring up, like, things that your parents said. Maybe things that they didn't say. You might have lost one of your parents or a loved one, and Christmas just dials up that grief and that loss. Or maybe you went through some traumatic things as a kid or even as an adult around holidays. And so the idea of home might not always feel as safe. It might not always feel like the warm, fuzzy, or home might just be like something you avoid. But I would think that most of us could agree that's a tragedy. Because of all the places in the world that should be safe, that should be beautiful, that should be alive, it is your home. And like, what if there was a way? What if there was an opportunity or a space that we could enter into, even in the midst of real life? Because I love talking about this, that God is a real big fan of you. Not the big fan of you when you get it all right, or you get like that little, you know, we call it life-controlling habit, or maybe addiction, all right, or the way you spend your money, or whatever it might be you feel like that makes me not as good or not as beautiful. God is not waiting till you get to the right point and said, oh, now you're good. Now you're in. Now we can like love each other. No, he is a huge fan of you right now. And the miracle of Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us, is that God comes home. He invites us to come home. What if there was a place where in the midst of your real life, you could experience like the beauty of all the things that God created home to be, you could experience that. That's what we're going to be talking about for the next couple weeks. And today we're going to be looking at John, the first chapter in John. And John, the Gospel of John is a little different. If you have a Bible, you can grab it, or you can use your phone, or we have Bibles on the back table if you don't have one. John's like invitation starting of like what Christmas is different, because in the other Gospels, there's like a animal like birthing center, and there's like these, you know, nomads coming in and like hanging out. Shepherds just show up, and there's like angels singing and stars, and you know, like Mary's giving birth in a stable next to some animals. And like, John doesn't mention any of it. John starts somewhere different. And what John is framing for us, he's like he's setting the table of what, there's this beautiful home. There's this beautiful, beautiful home, and you can experience it. You just don't get to observe it. You just don't get to look, you know, drive by and say, wow, that's a cool house. It's like he's inviting us to drive right up the driveway, right up to the house, and he's opening the door and saying, there is something beautiful for you inside. So here's my encouragement before we pray and we read John 1 through 14. Verses, not the chapters. Well, that's a long time. My invitation to you is this. If you're here and you are lonely, if you're here and you are hurting, if you're here and you have, like, you're like, okay, how am I going to spend hundreds of dollars on gifts? Because I don't even have tens of dollars. Like, this is a safe place. And God has something real for you. We believe that God is not just a big fan of you, but he is so good. And the only thing he wants for you is to experience his goodness. So as I pray, if that's you, just receive it. However you connect with Jesus, whatever that looks like for you, I pray you just receive that life-giving love. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, God's like tangible like experience, your presence, we just say come. I am so excited to talk about coming home because I need it. I know a lot of my friends here, a lot of my friends listening on the podcast in their cars or office in their kitchens, they need it too. So will you give us yourself, God? And will you brush up against the lonely parts of our hearts? Will you brush up against the grief? Will you brush up against the exhaustion for like the new mothers, the new parents? Will you brush up against maybe just feeling a little bit of loneliness from our friends? We see that they're having these parties and we're not. And just will you come to all of it? The financial struggles, the struggles in our marriages, like just come. Every single part of our home, will you turn the lights on and breathe life into our home? We love you, God. Amen. All right, so starting in John chapter 1, verse 1, it says this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light into everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. That's a powerful line. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, the Word was with God, and in him all things were made. And he came to his own, the Word came to his own, and the people who are his own didn't even receive him. This Word is a beautiful thing, but it's a powerful thing. Like this like couple verses here, like frames John, the Gospel of John, of all the things that you're going to read and experience. If you read through John, if you haven't, I'd highly encourage you to check it out. It's wonderful. But he's talking about this Word, and the people who would have heard this story, heard this letter that John wrote, this gospel, his original audience, because it's important to remember that the Bible had an original audience. The same way if I wrote Becca a letter, it would be to Becca. But then, like, we get in on this beautiful gift called the Gospels. And his original audience would have known in the beginning was the Word. And they would have been, like, aware that that's, like, the beginning of Genesis, where there was this Word. And there was this God. There was this good God who created these things. He created the heaven and earth. And he pierced the darkness. And he formed the water and all the animals in it. And all the, in Carlton especially, right? And he made all these beautiful things. And it was when the Word was spoken, there was beauty. When the Word was spoken, there was life. When the Word was spoken, there was a whole new reality. Like, when God speaks, this Word has a lot of weight. Has a lot of weight. When he says, let there be light, there is instantly life. There is action. There's something that is rich. There's something that is thriving through the words. And the truth is, the same is for us. that like your words really do have weight. They actually have a lot of weight. Like, do you remember like that, like those words that like travel with you throughout your life? Anyone have words that travel, something someone said, someone didn't say? They didn't say enough or they said too much. They just kind of stick with you. Yeah? Like maybe it was that coach who saw something in you, said, no, you can do it. You can do hard things. And all of a sudden you got pumped up a little bit more and it's been like maybe a mantra you used over and over and over again. Maybe it was that teacher that said, yeah, there's a lot of unemployed comedians in the world. You're like, oh, that's not so good, right? Might have been a teacher that's just said, you should just give up. You're never going to be that smart. Just settle. They might not have said that, but that's what you heard. You had a friend that kept highlighting that one part of your body over and over again, just as a joke, but it just stuck with you. Like, our words, we could undervalue the power of words. We can say, it's not that big deal, it's just joking, right? That's like bullying. It's not that big deal, come on, tough up, you can handle it. But those words that those kids say carry with you for the rest of your life. They have weight. And we see that throughout the Bible. In the beginning was the Word. And here, this Word in Genesis, God speaks and the Word brings life. But what was the purpose of that Word? See, it wasn't like God just like, I'm kind of bored. I need something to do. Why not just like, oh, create light. And hey, look, there's people, right? What was the purpose? When he spoke and there was life, what did he say? He said, and it was good. And there's almost like it's a poem, actually. It's almost like it has a rhythm. It has a beat of where he creates something. On the first day, he creates something, and it was good. And the second day, and it was good. And the third day, it was good. There is like this exclamation point of the purpose of creating something was that there was life, and it was to be celebrated. It was rich. It was had this fullness, it had this depth, and it had this beauty. And when he is done speaking, this word that created all these things, what the reality is that it was rightness. Everything was in its right place. If you read through it, like God created you. He created life. He created the heaven and the stars and the moon and the sun and the animals and like the grass, right? He created all these things for what purpose? To be celebrated. To be experienced. It was everything in its right place. There's a Radiohead song I love, everything in its right place. I can't sing it because that'd be weird. But there's when everything's in its right place, it's like God is walking amongst women and men. And it said that Adam and Eve stood before each other and they felt no shame. They were naked and felt no shame. They're across from each other and God is in their midst. It's like they can be fully themselves. They don't have to try being someone they think is better than them. They can be fully human. They can be fully a woman, fully a man, and before God. And everything is beautiful. Everything is right, where they can be with God, laugh with God, walk with God. They can, before sin enters the world, they talk about work. Work was not this four-letter word. Work was something that was right. It was something that was good. The relationship between humans, the relationship between God and the relationship to the earth was all good. It was all right. And in the Bible, when they talk about heaven, when we think about heaven, we usually think of a destination. We think of launching, like when we die, we get on like this cosmic like catapult and we go into this whole new reality and we're like, whoa, this is awesome. And we land on some cloud and we're like, now what, right? And you just eat chocolate bonbons all day and you just... Yeah, like, it's like this, it's this magical place. But in the Bible, when they talk about heaven, it's different. It's different. Heaven was not just a destination. Heaven was a reality. Heaven was something you could like step into, not just when you die, not just when you die. See, we have this idea of like, okay, I just get this picture of like, there's this scale and we're like, oh, you just have to struggle really hard to like not do too many bad things. And I hope they notice all the good things I did. And at the end, you hope it just is in your favor at the very end. And God's up there, he's like, you barely made it. You're lucky. You're welcome. Right? Like, if you look at the life of Jesus, when he talks about heaven, He talks about the kingdom of God. It's always within reach. It's at hand. Can you experience now? Will you step into that flow? It's something we can enter into now and experience now. And what God, his word, created the garden, what he was creating is heaven. Right relationship. And they could experience it then. Heaven. So this word creates this reality. It creates this place where you can experience a good and beautiful life. And in verse 14 in John, it says, "And the word became flesh and blood." And the message, it says, "and moved into the neighborhood." I love that. So now, this word that created the heaven and the earth, this word that all through him all things were made. Remember, it was good. It was about experiencing right relationship with God and with people and the earth. Now the same exact word came and brought what? Something good. This is the miracle. This is the miracle of Christmas. It's absolutely the miracle of Christmas because when we think about Christmas, or you even think about like Good Friday and Easter, a lot of people, where we start is, we know, why did Jesus come? Because, you know, we needed to be saved. Need to be saved. And the reality is, yeah, we do. We really absolutely need to be saved from the sin, from the way we've like rearranged our love to get things for ourselves instead of that love from God, where we can radically give it away. And because of our sin, like we don't get in on the good and beautiful life, and we needed absolutely Jesus to come. But here's the thing, when we do that, it's almost like Christmas is like God upstairs in heaven, you know, like in this magical cosmos, and he's up there and he's watching humanity. He's like, really? I gave you like the prophets, I gave you the priests, I gave you Moses, like Moses in the beard, hello, right? And you still can't get it right. Don't make me come down there. Like the angry dad at the top of the stairs, like, don't make me come down there. And Christmas was like God just saying, fine. I apparently need to come down there because you can't do it on your own. And he's like rolling the dice, like, all right, who's gonna give birth to me? All right, here we go. How about this one, right? I hope this works out with this unwed mother. I hope it's pretty good, right? It's easy for us to fall into that trap. But if we do that, we're missing out on the word. See, the story doesn't start with the sin. The story doesn't start out with the fall of man. The story starts out with the word created heaven. It created beauty where we could thrive, where we could be fully, fully human. You're going to hear me say it 1,000 times. Good and beautiful life with God and with each other. That's where it started. And that's the word. So it's not just so that we needed to be saved. What were we saved from? Sin. But what were we saved for? That's what we miss out on. We focus a lot on what we're saved from. What are you saved for? You're saved. God gives you himself, the best of himself. Why? Heaven. Absolutely right relationship with God and with each other. And it can be celebrated and you can thrive and you can grow. See, to me, that's the miracle. God with us, Emmanuel, is that he came as a helpless little baby, right? Totally vulnerable. But for why? Because he's crazy about you. Why? Because he wants you to thrive. Why? So that you can experience hope. Why? So that when you have incredibly hard things, that God can give you himself to get through those hard things. Why? So you can laugh. Why? So you can enjoy life. That's coming home. God created a home. You were created for a home. Do you know that? You were created for a home. And so often we settle for other things that we run to get life from that we feel like that, oh, that's kind of like home. No. Like, isn't it easy, like around Christmas time, just to get caught up and like, okay, I have to like outperform like my siblings, right? I have to outgift like that my friend who like started buying gifts like 3 months ago. I have to make my Christmas cards better. I have to put sugar on the butter and the butter on the sugar because they have sugar in the butter and I need more sugar on the butter, right? It's easy. We can find life and value in, especially around Christmas, in so many different things. And really, there's this gift. There's this place. There's this home that God created for us to step into. See, this is why I feel like Christmas is so alive. It's so electric. Regardless if you are a follower of Jesus or not, like, there is something magical that we call. There's something electric around the holidays where it feels good to smile at a friend or a neighbor. Or you say, hey, happy holidays, or hey, Merry Christmas, or the going out. Like, I actually yesterday got excited about going to the mall. Right? What's wrong with me? But it's something I'm like, oh, I want to go to the mall. Right? Any other time I'd be like, oh, no, don't make me go to the mall. Right? If you own the mall here, big fan of the mall. So, like putting up Christmas trees and standing outside in the cold, watching, you know, fire trucks go by. Why is that? Why does it feel so good? Why does it feel so right around the holidays? Because it's heaven. It sings the beautiful song of heaven, coming home, coming to us, coming close to you. And any time that we reflect any part of the kingdom, any time that we act in a godlike manner, what the benefit is, the result of it, the consequence of it is heaven. It's his kingdom. And that's why it feels electric. That's because it's singing the beautiful song that there's a good and beautiful God who wants you to experience something good, not just later, but now. I want that. I want to experience heaven like that. I want to experience it now. And here's the thing. We have something to offer as followers of Jesus-looking people. When we are going around to sit around those tables at, like, the holiday Christmas party, at your business Christmas party, right? As you're, like, you're walking by your neighbors, what you are bringing with you is something more than just the cookies you made. It's more than, like, that funny joke that you memorized over and over and over again so that your coworkers think you're really funny, hip with it, and wow, right? You guys don't do that? Okay, that's just me. So what you are bringing with you is heaven. See, what would it look like? If not just Sunday morning, because that's why worship was just, it was so good, right? It was great. Why does that feel right? Because they are singing the song of heaven. They're pointing back to God. And so what you experience when someone prays for you or like the music's good and it feels right, you are experiencing heaven in that moment. Like, we can experience that outside of just like in these beautiful orange-brown chairs, right? Around that table, what you can invite people into, what you can extend, what you carry with you is the presence of the Holy Spirit, God's felt practical presence. That's my goal for Christmas. In my home, in our office, best Christmas ever, when we're hanging out and at our small groups, as we are talking and singing here, is that people can come and wherever they're at, wherever they're feeling, all the things have been done to them, they've done to someone else, they can come and step in, and just for a moment, they can experience heaven. Right? That's what I want. And I am so far off my notes, I haven't even looked at them once. So, so you were created for a home. Psalm 27:4 says this, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Like, the only thing that they want is, I just want to sit in the presence. I just want to soak in the beauty. Your heart was created for home. You were created to experience heaven. Like, when you drive through Carlton and all of a sudden you just feel like a little bit better about yourself, you're just like, I feel like my quality of life just went up, right? And you're like, this feels like heaven, right? Like, when you eat like tapioca pudding and you're like, oh man, this tastes like heaven, said no one. I'm just joking. I don't know why I brought up tapioca pudding. I don't know. My dad likes tapioca pudding. Yeah, dad's like, hey, wait a second. I like those bubbles. So so I have, to wrap it up, man, I am jacked up about this. I seriously am. My goal, Nikki and I's goal, is that we just never just become a church that does churchy things. Shame on us if that's who we are. Or we just walk through, like, let's just do a Christmas Eve service. Why? Because, you know, we're a church. Shame on us if that's who we are. I want to be a life-giving, thriving community that is a Jesus-looking community, that where we go, there is hope and beauty in everything we touch. That every table in Carlton County has a place where someone can hear the beautiful song that God is good and has good things for you. Man, that's what I want. So here's a couple ways, three tips. And you can write these down on our program. You can write them down or you write them in your hand if you are into that. So a couple ways our hearts can find its home. Here's a couple ways that you can like experience home during the holiday season, because it's hard. The first one is this. Imagine this. Slow down. Just slow down. Slow down in every possible way and see Jesus. Slow down when you're driving. Slow down when, like, yesterday, we're like sitting there getting the tree ready, and I had my phone out, and Nikki just like grabbed my phone, and she tried taking away from me, like, "What are you doing right now?" I'm like, "Oh, I'm doing something I shouldn't be doing." Right? Slow down. Just like slow down at work. Don't get fired, but slow down. Right? When you feel that anxiety like rising up, slow down and what? Look for Jesus. Look for Jesus. Like, do you see Jesus in Christmas? Or do you see just a checklist? Do you see Jesus, or do you just see the anxiety and all the things that need to happen? Because, I mean, man, there's so many beautiful things to experience and take in around Christmas. Look for Jesus. Look for him in, like, the Christmas songs. Look for him, like, when you're in the, I'm bringing up the mall again, when you're in the mall, right? Look for them like in your kids' laughter. Look for them in your friends as you're hanging out and celebrating. Look, just slow down. We get so worked up. We just get crazy. Like, slow down. The next one is very similar then, is like just notice people. Notice people and add value. Like, if we really bring something different to the table, if we really can bring the presence of God, we can bring heaven to the table, like, how are you doing that? It might be giving your boss at work like an attagirl or an attaboy. It might be something as simple as of holding the door open for someone. It might be shoveling your neighbor's like walkway when you get home. Like, this is one of the reasons that we're doing Best Christmas Ever when Tori and AJ approached us, is because we can add value to a family. We really can. Like what they're walking through is going to shape the trajectory of their life and maybe their kids' lives. And we want to add value to them in practical ways. And we can do that as a community. We have the resources to be able to love and change this family's life. We really do. That's a practical, that's a big way, right? It's a big way that we can notice that there's someone in our community who's hurting and we're going to do something about it. But there's practical, there's tons of ways. The ways you use social media, you can add value to people's lives. The way you text your friends, the way that you like greet your parents, the way you talk to your kids at school, the way you talk to your friends' kids at school, you can add value. So slow down and like add value to the people around you. And the last one is this, just worship like crazy. I hear my grandma's voice in here, worship my clothes, right? Like worship like crazy. Like I said earlier, worship is a lot more than just singing. Worship is whenever we put our the best of ourselves, our time, energy, resources, money, our thoughts, our spirit, whatever it is, whenever you give it towards something, that arrow point towards something, that's worship. Like, worship God. And as I was, you know, praying this week about this, the thing that kept coming over and over and over again is just thank God a lot. Like, just thank God a ton. Like, when the hot water comes out of the shower, say thank you. Thanks, God. Like, when your wife actually, like, looks at you and smiles, say thank you to her. Like, thank you, right? Say thank you to God. When you connect with your friend and it's something good, like, when's the last time that you thanked your friend? Just thanks for being good. Thanks for noticing me. I had a friend just recently call me over Thanksgiving and just said, hey, thanks for being a good guy to me. And it felt right. It felt like heaven. Like, let's just be thankful people. It is a practical way that you can worship God. So, coming home. Next couple weeks, we're going to talk all about what does it look like to experience heaven. And my prayer for you is that this Christmas season, you could experience home. Please stand with me. Let's pray. So I'm gonna pray here in a little bit, pray over all of us. And then when we're done, we're gonna have people on our ministry team who stand up here who are willing to pray for you. And it might, if you're new to this, it might seem weird that you would walk up in front of people that you don't know and come up and get prayer. But the reason that we do it is because in my life especially, like even like this last Wednesday at my small group, I was going through some really hard things, and it was very life-giving to have someone else stand with me and put their hand on me and just say, yeah, that's hard. Let me pray that God would do good things in you. It was so good. So that's why we provide it every week, so that you can have a friend. You can have someone else who can look in the eyes, put their hand on your shoulder, and say, hey, God can do good things in your life. So here's what I'm going to pray about. I'm going to invite you in to receive prayer right where you're at. If this whole idea of experiencing heaven, of experiencing a good God, is something new to you, and you feel like, other people get that, but not me. I've gone too far. I'm way off the charts. I've totally missed the plot. Like, I'm gone. Like, you're not. We have a God who came to us. We have a God who came to us not out of anger, but out of love, because he wanted to create that same reality that he did in the very beginning in the garden. You can have right relationship, and where it starts is right now. Or you're here, like when I started my message, you feel lonely. You just feel lost. Or you even have physical pain that you feel like robs you of the joy of like your family or your friends or even work. Or maybe you're here and you just have given up. You're just like, I'm done. I'm just going to tolerate life. I'm going to tolerate my marriage. I'm going to tolerate my job. I'm going to tolerate my finances. Like, God has something so much more for you in that. So as I pray, I'm going to encourage you just to receive from God. And for me, and I use this a lot, is I just picture like there is this stream of life. There is this beautiful river. And it's like I just need to step into that. God has created this reality for me to experience now. And what he does, he goes, I've already set the stage. Like the life is flowing. It's there. That healing, that hope, that forgiveness, that joy, that beauty, it's there, Chris. Will you step into it? As I pray, I'm going to invite you, just whatever that looks like for you, to step into that loving relationship with God, regardless of where you're at. So pray with me. So God, we love you. What a beautiful thing that we can say we love our God. Not out of just duty, and not out of fear. If I say anything else, I'm going to get in trouble. No, but it can come out of a place of intimacy. It can come out of a place of rightness. And I love you because you first loved me. That you noticed us. And you wanted to have right relationship with us. You wanted us to thrive. You wanted us to enjoy life. So I pray for my friends here. I pray for my friends on the podcast. Pray for my friends in this room. God, will you help us be able to receive that love right now? Will you help us just walk onto that stage, help us to step into that flow and just receive all the life-giving benefits that you have for us? Will you help us experience heaven? Even now. Bring encouragement. Bring hope. God, will you bring forgiveness? I speak to the words that we carry with us that are lies. I speak to the words that teacher or that parent or that friend or that website, that magazine, or that boss, that curse that they spoke over you. We just say no. You don't get to tell us who we are anymore. God, I pray you would remove that weight off of my friends, and what they hear instead of the lies, they hear the song that you are loved. You can thrive. You made it this far, you can grow even more. We receive that, Jesus. And will you help us be a community that around the tables around Christmas, what we can offer is we can like slow down and we can add value through the kingdom of God. In your name, amen. Hey, thank you for being with me in this moment. Thank you for praying with me. So if I could have the ministry team come on up, if one of the things we talked about hit you or felt alive or real to you, the people up here would love to love nothing more than to stand with you and pray with you. And we're going to worship for a little bit more. So like that last point, if you want to worship like crazy, this is a great way just to practice that and to soak in all the things God has for you. Thank you. Thank you for coming to the Cloquet Vineyard, and have a great rest of your weekend.